How did you start like planning the entire factory from an HVAC point of view? Because I mean, you can go to a designer or to an architect and say, I need a factory, right? So how do they respond to manufacturers such as us trucks at this stage when you tell them, all right, but I need my gear in there. I need to showcase my A game in this building. Could you do that for me?
It's a really, really, really good question.
Herzlich willkommen zum Trox Podcast, eurem Hörerlebnis von Null auf Technik. Und jetzt Ohren auf und viel Vergnügen.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't be confused. It's going to be another episode in English. And we have no title for that. We are so sorry, but since we have one of our favorite guests here, the second time, the fabulous Wayne Richmond. He called it the Martin and Martin Show. And this is the reason why we stick with this title. Welcome, warm welcome, all the way from...
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
The Asian...
It's the M&M show, by the way.
The M&M show.
It's a little bit more, I don't know, pizzazz.
It gets shorter every time. Yeah, but next time it's just the M show. It's
because I got fired.
One of you is going to have to go.
But we need some candies. The candies called M&Ms. That would be cool.
Yeah, there are also other candies, yeah. So we don't do any position. But if you are eager to pay for us to mention your brand on the show, go ahead. We are open for bribes. Wayne, it's so good to have you here. What brings you all the way to Germany? Last time was 23 on the Ice Age.
Was it?
It was, indeed.
Well, I remember it was ISH. Was it 23?
It was.
That was our first excursion, yes. That was good. I don't know if you gentlemen correctly remember, though, but you asked me to predict what I thought was going to be the next relevant topic at ISH, which would have been what, ISH 25?
Yeah, actually this year.
Yeah, that was. Do you remember what my answer was?
It was sustainable building and AI culture.
Yeah. Where's the buzzer?
That was straightforward. Although you didn't have any idea.
It was energy efficiency. Really? I actually never checked it up. What was the main theme of the ISH 2025?
2023, we talked about OX.
2025.
No, it's like, you mean like for the overall exhibition?
The overall theme exhibition for 2025.
It was sustainability mostly. And like,
take a breath. Wrong.
For us, it was like, having a look in the ventilation industry, well, it was like kind of efficiency, the same story from most of the people. But if you took a look into the other exhibition halls, it was mainly like, how can we manage the focus with regard to fossil energy more, let's say, greener approach with heat pumps, et cetera, because like building got more and more expensive in the past two years. And now they're all looking at a smart concept to shift down the costs and make it more kind of efficient. And they were all into that.
But at the truck stand, we had this world of applications. So we had a world of pharmaceutical applications where we built up a lab, for example, and we had smoke extraction systems and classroom ventilation. Yeah. So we had this kind of structure with talking in applications. And we had one wonderful thing that you missed because you did not come this year, but we had, we installed some jet fans above the booth. And the advantage was that
something on LinkedIn.
Whenever the song orange. Came up from Trox, you know, the Trox song, feel it in the air, then we switched on the four jet fans and there was kind of wind coming from the top and that gave us a fresh
cold breeze.
Yeah. That was really cool because people really felt what the difference can be if you have in somehow air moving. That was really cool. I think we will do that again.
Whose idea was that?
Probably Udo's, right?
Probably Udo's and Paul Schwarz's idea. Yeah, they were all into that and we had... the ceiling construction made for that so they could carry the load and the movement of the jets. So it was great. And we had the button in the back. We had to push the button all the time.
During the party on Thursday, we pushed it all the time. I remember
there was a kind of construction which we built. So it was like an auto mode all the time. Like,
but wasn't there a booth as well? Were those booths where you sort of, you know, everything was circulating and you try to grab something?
You call that a money booth or something like that? We had that with vouchers for Trox merch. It was pretty...
this kind of... It wasn't called Catchbox.
We call it a Catchbox, but native speaker point of view...
but I think everyone can pretty much visualize it.
You know? Yeah, okay. You grab things when air is moving.
But for those who didn't hear or listen to the podcast that we had together with Wayne two years ago...
very few people.
I like your position so much because you are president and CEO of Trox APO.
He's our president.
Yes.
That's a wonderful title, isn't it?
Inherited. Inherited, yeah, not cool. created, I should say.
Yeah, but I find
it's
it
a
cool.
legacy title.
But it's great to
There's an interesting
here.
Story behind it, though, because you'll find it's probably the only title in the Trox group that exists that way.
Really?
And the reason actually was because back in the day, before I was with Trox, my predecessor was actually responsible for not for only the Asia-Pacific region, but also for the North American organization.
Ah, we're talking about Peter.
That's correct.
Peter Yoster.
Yeah. Shout out. So it was really important because in the context of the American business environment, the president is an important figure and considered the CEO version, I suppose, mm-hmm. although of the MD version. And so it made sense for him to combine the titles to make sure that wherever he is in the
cool.
world. So that's kind of stuck.
Sounds cool.
Although I haven't had anyone call me Mr. President just yet.
But now we will start Mr. President.
We were
with the topic for today.
Actually,
we don't want to focus on the complete APO region, but we want to focus on China because
Indeed.
There are amazing things
happening
ongoing
right now.
And in progress.
There are.
And maybe you can tell us something about the situation that we have with the new site.
Yeah, it's very exciting for many different reasons. The first, of course, is that we are investing such a large sum of money into the expansion plant in China. We've been there for almost 25 years now. 25 years.
Where did it start, Wayne?
Where?
I mean, when is like when 25 years is pretty obvious, but yeah, like, yeah. where? Well, is it like Beijing or where was it?
It was still in Suzhou. So the Suzhou is a city about 70, 80 kilometers outside of Shanghai,
mm-hmm.
which is obviously on the east coast.
Mm-hmm.
In the province of Jiangsu. And we've been there since we opened in 2002. But we've had facilities that we've rented.
Mm-hmm.
So we've actually moved twice during that period of time. And we now currently have two facilities in Suzhou. Both of them are rented facilities. Moving forward, the decision was taken that it would make a lot more sense for us to plant a flag in the ground and invest in the future of China, which we believe in wholeheartedly. So we did have done that. And we purchased a piece of land. We are then bringing the two different facilities together and we're currently building a singular campus.
Mm-hmm. So from scratch, right? Greenfield project.
Yes.
So you first got the confirmation that you can do it, what were the most important things that you wanted to have in this new factory and site?
Oof, that's a good question. I think, first of all, the first reaction was a combination of excitement, exuberance, and relief. The team worked really, really hard in putting together the case because it's not an easy case to make.
I imagine many
companies, I think, would definitely think twice about investing in the Eastern region in general and in China in particular during these times. You have to have a fairly good motivational case mm-hmm. to put forward, and we worked hard on it. So the first was exuberance that the supervisory board and the board of management had agreed that this was the appropriate way forward. So that was the first reaction. In terms of what to put in place, the most exciting part was how to expand and improve our customer experience center that has been such a success in mm-hmm. China. Maybe I'm a little bit biased, but I do feel that the existing Chinese customer experience center is probably the flagship experience center for the Trox Group. Maybe people would disagree with me.
No, I would.
But if you do, I invite you to pay a visit.
Come.
But that one's going to be upgraded. So the first thing is that, we are upgrading the customer experience center. We've had some learnings we're going to take through to the new plant. Mm-hmm. So very excited about that. And then the other is the investment in labs. We're expanding our laboratory capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So they were not limited, but they were fairly concise. Now we are doubling it from 3 to 5, which will also include acoustics. One of only 2 acoustics labs in the whole of China, which is not a small place.
All right. Cool. In entire China, it's only 2.
Yeah.
One of 2. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I would have one question, Wayne, regarding the overall economic development in China.
Yeah.
Is this like considered to be a risk to build like a kind of new factory in an environment where it's supposed to crash, like from the building industry? Is this like, I mean, if we talk about Evergrande, et cetera, a lot of people would have, on the top of their head, like, oh man, this is like kind of shaky business right now. How would you perceive the overall economic development? Is Trox affected by that?
I think every company in China would be affected by the macroeconomic environment of China. I think And when you paint it in a scenario of looking at Evergrande or Country Garden, it doesn't paint a great picture. But those are two development companies that, let's just say, had horrible business practice that eventually came around to bite them. That said, I don't want to minimize the impact that it's, had on the Chinese economy, combined with COVID and the approach to COVID. It has had a difficult impact on the economy. But luckily, with an investment of this nature, this size, you don't invest for the next 3 years. No one ever builds a building or puts a business plan together that's only going to cover the next 5 years, right? So the simpler question that needs to be answered is whether or not Trox as an organization believes in the future of China. And if the answer to that is yes, then it comes down to a financial question, and that was actually the easiest of the two to answer. So both those two together, it was yes and yes, and the rest is history, so to speak. But I will say this, there are advantages to taking that risk, as you phrase it, in this moment in time. I think it's Warren Buffett who's credited with saying, be fearful when others are being greedy and be greedy when others are being fearful. That, in fact, was the opening motto for the presentation to the supervisory board.
Seriously?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's a bold move. But it worked, though.
It worked.
Great.
And the reason for that is because in this time, there are not a lot of companies that have been jumping up to invest in China. So when you do, concessions are available. Your negotiation leverage is easier. Things become easier. The bureaucracy becomes smoother. Doors open when usually they're quite difficult to, usually are closed. And so, we benefit from all of that in addition to what I believe is a cycle that will be closing out 28, 29. And then we look forward to a very, very positive growth future.
And what I find amazing when you say you even want to improve the experience center, because the old one I found already fascinating. I don't know if you have seen that.
I haven't seen
it live, because when I came over in 2019, it was not there in the latest stage, but I saw the videos, and the videos were just amazing. And when when you say it's probably one of the best in the Trox group,
I said it was the best.
No, but people would say I would confirm just from the videos. I found it so fascinating. So you did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
And I think for coming back to the factory, investing in R&D facilities together with this experience center, of course, will give customers the chance to have just a custom experience and feel really what it means to be a market leader and let's say competence leader in ventilation and air conditioning.
Well, I mean, that was the objective. So to your point, I think we do a fairly good job across the group of putting together static walls of product display, shall we say. And I mean, even Floon is probably the flagship for a near customer experience, more interaction. So, you can see things working as they're supposed to. We just took it to one level, the next level, which was how do we create an application environment we typically sell into? How do we create that to be actually live running so that the experience is no longer just the features that you can list on a data sheet? The features now become the sensories, the human sensory, right? So, for example, in our AHU room, where the AHU in the middle of the CX center is running because it feeds the entire admin building, and it's in a booth, right? And you like walk into that booth. When the door closes, the first reaction from almost every single customer that's been in there is like, is it on? Is it running?
It's
so quiet.
It's amazing.
And then that's one of the sensory items, right? So the acoustics is important, and it's a selling point. It's a USP for us, not only in AHU, but across many of our other products.
What were the other environments that you have in the existing site?
We have obviously the AHU, which is purely the product. But then we have, you must forgive, the timing was pretty much spot on because this was COVID time, right? So we actually have a hospital room. Where we have a hospital bed.
I mean, still.
Maybe occasionally actual. It can come into, can be quite handy after a big night out. But nonetheless, we have a room, we have an air pressured room, we have a fume hood lab environment. And then, of course, we have the typical office commercial type of environment, boardrooms, and a residential sector.
So, Rebecca, you show these things in operation, like people can go in there and experience it. Yes. Is this like a thing, if you talk about, let's say, the Chinese way of building buildings, like they are not caring that much, then they don't talk about the price. I mean, everyone does at a certain stage of the project, but do they really go into the detail then and say, let's experience what you have to offer here?
You mean as a question, or do they actually reflect on it?
I don't know. It's like a question. How do you perceive, like, how is the way of building? I mean, we talk about top-notch technological solutions.
Yes.
But are you showcasing them in a way to illustrate and showcase them they're actually working?
Yes.
And it's worth the money. Absolutely.
Yes, I think the value comes through in the experience.
Yeah,
and if you can create an experience when your competitors are not,
mm-hmm. yeah,
then the data sheets are not. I wouldn't say they're not important. It's just that they are
flexible
down the priority yeah. chain of the decision, because you influence the decision maker in a way that cannot be done on paper.
Yeah, it's this look and feel important. And get an impression. I had the same situation when I went to the top floor of our new building here, or the newest building here. The same situation, air hunting unit in operation, and the lady came in and said, "Wow, is it really running?"
There we go.
And that's impressive for people to see that you get these things silent. But coming back to the new factory, so you have some facts for us?
Some basic facts, yes. So, fun fact. There is a fun fact about the factory anyway.
Okay.
It's the second largest factory by square meters by size in the entire group. So the only larger one is Anholt.
All right. Yeah.
So this China factory will be the second largest in the world for the Trox Group. And that will come in at about 34,000 square meters in floor space for production.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And then about 6,000 square meters of administration, including about 1,000 square meters of customer experience.
Wow. That's a lot.
It's like it is.
Four football pitches.
What other things were important when you planned the building?
Well, I think I've mentioned the laboratories already.
Yeah.
That was one aspect. The other was, of course, for us to try to walk the walk, so to speak. You know, we've heard a lot of talk or conversations, especially nowadays, about sustainability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think companies are still figuring out how to marry sustainable efforts with the bottom line, which is understandable. But in China, we made an effort to ensure that when we put this building together, that it wasn't just something that necessarily was stated as being green, it was experienced as green. And what do I mean by that? Well, in addition to the PV, that's the most obvious, the photovoltaic on the roof. So we'll produce around 3 megawatts of power.
Three
megawatts. Oh. In fact, we had to scale it down because our roof was large enough, it could have even produced 3.5.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So about 3 megawatts of power coming out of PV. That's the first. But more importantly, the second is we are going for the LEED Platinum certification for the entire building.
Oh, not just the administration. Is it there a local board in China doing that? Or is this like the American standard?
No, it's American standard.
Oh, yeah, sure. The global LEED organization.
Chinese subsidiary doing that.
No, it's global LEED. Not only LEED, WELL as well.
The same thing? But the requirements are the same, right?
No.
More or less?
No, different. They have slightly different measurements as well. So with LEED, it's a little bit more onerous.
No, I didn't mean between LEED and WELL, but for a LEED certified building, the requirement, LEED certified building, the requirements in the regions are the same.
So not actually the same. Yeah. And what I've learned, because of course, for me, I'm more of a marketing guy.
I'm of marketing.
I'm the vice president
of marketing.
I'm just the vice president.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, listen, may have aspirations.
Yeah. Maybe I'm running in the next term. You never know.
Although you have the same age, right? You are just the vice president.
I'm just the vice president. I'm a wise president.
Oh, wow.
It's on me.
Asking himself, how old is Martin?
No, I wasn't, because I knew how old I am, and you said we're the same age, so that was pretty easy.
Yeah, but maybe that's not true.
Yeah, I didn't think it was true, but I didn't want to get
because he looks better.
No, actually, Wayne is younger.
Jesus, I'm certainly taller. That's what I can say.
Yeah, that's true.
At least today.
You're like the tallest in the room here. All right. Yeah. Okay. But
getting back to your question about LEED, it's really important to know that LEED, the certification of LEED is not something you can do after you've actually finished construction. Mm. You won't be able to go and get a LEED Platinum or Gold as a result of come and look at my building, take some measurements and see if we fit. You have to construct out of certain materials.
Mm-hmm.
There are many different steps that need to be taken in order to achieve it that can only be taken from building from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, we'd be very proud to announce that we would be the first LEED Platinum certified entire building within the Suzhou area, which is a
really,
lot to say.
Oh, really?
There are a lot of many, 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 right? Foreign companies, including Bosch.
Wow.
Right.
Shout out to Bosch.
Yeah, shout out to Bosch. They invested €1 billion recently. Excuse me, 1 billion RMB.
But if these people have questions, we would support.
They could sponsor us.
True. Anyway, so we'll be LEED Platinum certified for the entire building, mm-hmm. which is including the production area. So that's a first.
But they do this while you're constructing it, right?
So you have to consult with them. You have to.
All the time, like from the planning. Yeah,
yeah, because you know, if you've got a choice between materials, you can't mm-hmm. just go for the most economical.
Sorry, you can go for this or that.
Yeah,
right.
They advise you on which one. And then, of course, the consultants and advisors are not the auditors.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, right? No,
so
they're not.
You know, there's still a risk, mm-hmm. but ultimately that's the part of what they're supposed all to do is their job.
What was the reason why you said, I want to have that or we want to have that?
As I said, I'm more of a marketing guy, so yeah. I'll be honest and say that I wanted to be able to walk the talk.
Yeah.
So here's my philosophy. I think it's easier to sell, and I think it's easier for us as a company culture to get behind the notion that we are a company that provides an expert HVAC experience. Mm-hmm. Right? We produce and manufacture different HVAC components. I think it's easier to sell that when and we are a sustainable business. And I think it's easier to sell that when the facility that we manufacture our products in or we bring our customers to encapsulates that entire philosophy mm. and everything that it can. So we don't simply talk about it and point to milestones. Their experience in a building ultimately that is all of that that we talk about. So we not only do we produce a sustainable type of product that helps with sustainability, we do it in a sustainable way, yeah. a sustainable building. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very difficult for many of our competitors to do. So, yes, does it cost more? Yes. Do you invest more up front? Yes. But the return, in my mind, is already there.
And also seeing it from this perspective that you have hands on the energy monitoring, et cetera, et cetera. Yes. So you actually do save the money in the long run, right?
Oh, yeah. Again, that goes without question. That's often lost. It's a very good point. It's often lost because people look at the investment cost.
Yeah.
Oh, and I want to do that. Yeah. But you do get an actual financial return in the running of the company as well, at least the building as well.
How did you start like planning the entire factory from an HVAC point of view? Because, I mean, you can go to a designer or to an architect and say, I need a factory, right? So how do they respond to manufacturers such as us, Trox, at this stage when you tell them, all right, but I need my gear in there. I need to showcase my A game in this building. Could you do that for me?
It's a really, really, really good question because it's been the basis of many discussions, sometimes a little bit heated. So what's interesting in China for me and my experience is that the different stakeholders in the process, like an HVAC designer, because we outsource that, mm-hmm. we're not HVAC designers.
No, we're not.
So they get involved. Of course, they're very proud about the work that they do.
They do.
The engineering they put together or the ideas they come up with. Mm. And as a result, as most engineers or any other professions for that matter, when you, designers in particular, when they come up with a plan and they like it themselves, it's very difficult to move them off that if you don't necessarily mm-hmm. agree. Mm-hmm. So there has been this tussle between trying to figure out how to best showcase our product in a way that is not undermining the performance of the HVAC system itself. Sometimes those are not necessarily easily to coexist. Mm-hmm. So it's been a path that we've had to walk along side by side. So we have to concede in some elements, but then we get rewarded on others. Mm. So like most things, it's a continuous collaboration, negotiation, and ultimately a list of priorities. Mm. If you don't have a list of priorities, then you're presuming you're going to get everything, which will never happen. So we prioritized appropriately in my mind, and as a result, we will get close to it.
What was your AAA criterion on that list?
That we do not hide any aspect of our HVA system mm-hmm. that is mm-hmm. ultimately cool. visible, number one.
Yeah, like in Switzerland, perfect.
Right, but you can make it visible in two different ways. One way where it's visible and it looks chaotic. Mm. So at the end of the day, you can imagine just trunking, if there wasn't a drop ceiling, there's wires.
It looks like a mess.
It's just an absolute mess, yeah. right? Then there's the way that you want it to look like, which is, you know, much more pristine, organized, well-presented, because the manner in which it's presented also says something about you as a company.
Definitely.
Indeed, right? Yeah.
And, you know, you can completely undermine your message by simply having your bare ceiling reveals something that is disorganized.
If it's neat and clean, they're like, this is how it should look like.
I can't wait to see it, to be honest. So because we will have a wonderful experience center, open installation of HVAC equipment.
Yes. Including the trucks components.
And we will have wonderful people. So when, Wayne, when do you plan to open the doors first time?
We'll become operational on the 1st of March, 2026.
Yeah. So you're moving all the gear from the two facilities which we own to this one.
We don't own the two facilities.
I mean, it's like which you operate, yes, right? So they're rented.
Yes,
rented. Don't ask us whether we sell it. So they're rented. Okay, perfect. But, made that clear.
Yes.
But you're moving all the gear to this new facility then?
The majority of it. There's some gear that can't be moved. Mm-hmm. For example, you can't, just up and move a powder coating line, for example. But then there are machinery that we'll take across. And then, of course, there's a lot of investment going into new machinery, more advanced automotive, at least automated, and robotics.
All right.
Yeah. So there'll be some nice robots, new robots that we get to add as well. So that will take place over the course of the Chinese New Year. So one of the tricks here.
That's in February, right? And then 1st of March.
Is the operational.
Operational.
So we obviously start before that, but that's the trick. How do you migrate from two different facilities into a singular campus without impacting your operations?
How do you do that?
By choosing a holiday.
Chinese New Year.
Yeah, Chinese New Year.
But do you find enough people working then?
No, well, you arrange it. You pre-arrange it. So you pay a premium, of course, because it is the largest holiday for China.
Yeah, I know.
But the supply chain on either side tends to be down in a week or two. So it's like the, I don't know if in Europe it's the same as necessarily in Australia or South Africa, where over December the construction period is 1 month holiday, basically. So construction is basically shut down. It's similar to that. So if you just move that across to February, you've effectively got around 3 to 4 weeks.
It's like because people, what I read on the media, like people are traveling across the entire country. Yeah, they just need time for that.
Maybe it's comparable to the time, let's say, from mid of December to mid of January in Europe.
Yeah, like also when holiday things happen. Here.
Yeah, it's a perfect time to move. If you take the whole of Europe moving over that period of time, you probably have, like, that's the movement in one city.
It's like in the US Thanksgiving, probably. Yeah.
Very good idea.
Yeah. Anyway, so yes, but we'll be testing already in December. The powder coating line, for example, the new powder coating line will be test run in December already. I should put this in context. You must remember the approval from the subsidiary board, at least the supervisory board, for the investment came at the beginning of July in 2024. Mm-hmm. Right? The contract for the purchase of the land was signed at the end of October in 2024. The first piles to be driven into the land was the end of January 2025, and we are operational on the 1st of March 2026.
So 13 months.
And that's 40,000
students. I just saw like the time-lapse video of how fast this outer construction was mounted by people. How does this country find so many people working? I mean, it's like incredible to see them.
It's not just about people though. You know, the machinery, they have a process that has been proven time and time again. And they're very systematic and very driven. The China speed, there's nothing comparable.
Do they work at night as well?
Yes, they do.
Crazy.
It depends on obviously the nature of the project, but particularly over the summer months.
Yeah.
Because in the summer months in some areas like ours, it can get really, really hot. In fact, dangerous levels of heat. So typically between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. in the afternoon, there won't be any work. But then they would compensate that.
All right. So they just bring in the LED screen spots and then they start.
That's right.
It's crazy.
Right.
It's great.
Another fun fact, if you want.
Yes, sure.
Okay, go. Because I know how often it happens in Germany, but Suzhou is actually on a delta, which means there's a lot of swampland. Mm-hmm. So one of the key elements when you're putting up a building is to ensure that the ground is stable, right? So they use piles to drive to compact the ground and obviously support the construction. For our piece, we drove 72 kilometers of piling. That's 72,000 meters of piling that's sitting on a 17,000 square meter footprint.
That's a lot of concrete.
You're almost left with no soil, if you think about
it. Unbelievable. Just like, all right, this is a hell of work, right? How much time did that take?
That took just over a month,
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, 6 weeks,
So that's crazy. Yeah. That's really...
But now the building's already almost completed from the outside, right?
The roof's on. Yeah, the roof's on. In fact, at the end of next week, all the cladding will be finished. So the glass is already in on the front of the admin building.
Yeah. How often do you go there?
Once every 6 weeks or so.
Okay.
Yeah. And every time I go there, it's still difficult to comprehend. Again, sensory overload.
Yeah. This is like because there are so many people and so many craftsmen.
No, not at all. It's the size. It's the scale, to be completely honest. And sometimes it's also just the overwhelming sense of being this small sort of part of the overall project, right?
Yeah.
Having some skin in the game. It's a moving experience. Yeah.
Have there been any crucial moment throughout this project where you thought like, oh, man, this is going to be hard to resolve?
Every 2 days.
No, I mean, we're talking about such a big project in general, and now taking it like from, I wouldn't say political point of view, but if we see at infrastructure projects here in Germany, we do have a 100% slower speed.
Right.
So this is like interesting to see how to overcome those kind of aspects once you hit them in a China context, right? Because I think none of our listeners could like scale it or comprehend at what kind of speed we're looking here.
A lot of it depends on I think you have to work hard on your relationship with the local government.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. Because most of the bureaucracy and the red tape comes at a bureaucratic level in various different bureaus, fire bureau, you know, environmental bureau, etc. So if your relationship with the government at the highest level is really, really good, and Trox has good 20, 25 years of, you know, paying our taxes, making sure we're environmentally friendly, and ultimately employing the local community, then it goes a long way. So we've used that relationship to ensure that if there are any obstacles that came up, we drove through them. And on top of that, we've just been very, very lucky in the sense that we have a fantastic team who's managing on the Trox side, who's managing the overall build on site. We have an excellent contractor.
Are they still in their daily jobs now with Trox, or have they been not like excluded, or they haven't been like, do they have reserved time to take care of this building?
We have essentially two dedicated people.
So dedicated. That was the word I was looking for.
It would never work.
No, I mean, at least at the project management level. You know, we have a gentleman who's been very successful in our plastic side of our business. It was an easy decision. He heads up. He's the guy in charge of the project.
100%.
100% dedicated.
That's amazing, yeah.
And then, of course, he has good support from key people, certainly at a director level. I mean, our finance director, Alex Young, oversees largely in country, and he assists. But we also, it was interesting, we made the choice of going with a architect project management approach as well.
Like from an external, like third party?
Yeah. It was actually, he's a Belgian architect.
Okay.
But his career was essentially built in China. But we used him as a project manager. So there are different aspects he's responsible beyond just the architecture. He's responsible for ensuring that the materials that are selected are proper, arrive on time, the timelines, you know. So we have that external support that we've included into the project. So we've been very, very lucky. We've got some excellent personnel that are involved, and we've got a good relationship with the government. So obviously those three things are pretty much the reason for our success.
And current workers will be transferred to the new factory. They will work there as well.
Those who wish to come.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, in China, it's a little bit different maybe to Europe. You know, the proximity of the apartment you own or where you live to your work is really important.
Mm-hmm.
It plays because it dictates your daily travel. And many, many people use e-bikes.
Yeah.
And there's a certain range on these e-bikes, and also a certain comfort on the e-bikes. Yeah. So they do, it's certainly at a shop floor, you know, level, a lot of the workers will take that into consideration. How much further do I have to travel to get to the factory? And some of them may choose to say that's too far from my comfort. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, we currently measure it through survey, and we're very optimistic that we're not going to have a lot of drop off.
Yeah, and I think for the people, it's also great to work in that kind of factory and
like new site. Comfort, so wonderful. Everything.
So to be honest, that really sounds as another wonderful success story of our Trox APO team. So I'm really excited to see that once.
And as this is a formal invitation on air being recorded, I expect both of you to be there at the opening ceremony in June, because as I said before, this is an international media event, and who else not to have there than the most famous Trox celebrities in the group.
I think you could underpin that if you also would dedicate a room to Martin Lenz, because I know that in the lab, in the experience center, you have a Martin Lenz room with this. How you call that? Would you put on a wall?
Here's
what's the English name for it? Like the name tag?
We named some of the application rooms. I don't know if you're interested, but there's a story behind that. The whole idea behind that was to give some type of personality to the room.
Yeah.
And what you don't see is because I presume you don't read Chinese. Most people who are English who don't read Chinese won't realize that actually there are two names in every single right? And those two names represent the people, one in headquarters and then one in China.
I knew that.
That represent how they work closely with that particular application.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
So that's the marriage between them. That's the naming of the rooms. And yes, we will certainly continue.
Mine would be the storage room.
Well, no, very good idea. Actually, now that you say that, I mean, Yara's given me a great tour of this facility here, the studio.
Yeah.
And already I've taken video, this is definitely going to be something on the high on the list of putting into the new plant, in which case we will need an appropriate name.
And then it's Yara.
It's Yara.
Forget about this.
Make it nice. I was just about to say I'm so humbled, but now I'm just devastated. All right. Great to have you back on the show.
Thank you, guys. I'm pretty sure.
Thank you very much, Wayne.
We make it a hat trick next year then in your new studio.
Yeah, we should do it more often than every 2 years, I think. So next time will be probably, or hopefully,
yeah, there will be faster. Let's do it live from studio. Live from studio.
We can do that. We now have the opportunity to do that online or remotely, so that works.
Yeah.
So we have tried that out and maybe we can do something in the meantime.
Love to come and see you guys there. Amazing.
Thank you very much, Wayne.
Well, thank you, guys.
Have a safe trip back.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And
thanks to listen.
As always, it's great to see you. This is the first time I'm looking at you in a different perspective.
It's quite strange to see you.
May I take this step with me when I leave?
You do. If you make it through security control, it's all yours.
You can take it with you in your hand luggage.
You won't get it cheaper in China, I guess.
But in China, maybe people are normally smaller than you are, so yeah, it's different.
Actually, I feel like you when I'm in China.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
We'll figure that out.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
All right.
Good one. Thank you.
Have a great one, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Und das war sie auch schon, die aktuelle Episode unseres Podcasts. Wenn es euch gefallen hat, lasst uns gerne eine positive Bewertung da und abonniert natürlich unseren Kanal. Und wenn ihr Fragen oder Themenwünsche habt, schreibt es gerne in die Kommentare. Schön, dass ihr dabei wart und bis zum nächsten Mal.